We are excited to be here with you this week. And I don't get to speak to kids very often. They make me hang out with the adults. And I'll tell you what, adults are no fun. They are no fun. You got to behave yourself. You got to act dignified. But I do not have to act dignified this week. I'll tell you a little bit about ourselves. My wife and I have been married for 33 years. How many of you are 33 years old? At least 33? Okay, I got a couple. 33? Okay. And we have three children. Our oldest is Daniel, our middle kid, and he is messed up. So you'll hear me probably talk about him a lot this week. His name is David, and I have some funny David stories. And our youngest is Caitlin, and she is a senior nursing student down at Pensacola. And we are excited to be with you. Mrs. Bishop and I were born and raised on farms in Michigan, rural Michigan. And I tell you what, our nearest neighbor, I don't know, was probably a half mile away maybe. We were a mile away from the nearest town, and the town had 1,200 people in it, which was really a really big town. Mrs. Bishop grew up about six miles outside of town, and the nearest town to her was 300? Melvin, about 300 maybe? So we're big city people. And right now we live outside of Washington, D.C., and there is 1.3 million people in our county. So it's pretty big. So I'm going to find out a little bit about you. Tell me about yourself. First of all, tell me your name. Your name is? All right. Good. I'll remember all those names. You quiz me tomorrow, okay? And it'll sound like something like this. Your name is... And I got it right? Okay. Tell me where you're from. We have some folks that live on a farm. Any farmers here? Oh, all right. Okay, what kind of farm?
Small farm.
Okay.
I was born on the Navy base in Seoul,
South Korea. South Korea. Okay. Anybody farther away than that? Where were you born?
China.
She got you beat. Sorry about that. I'll tell you a little bit about where we met. We met there, and we moved to Pennsylvania. We lived in Pennsylvania for a while. How many of you are from Pennsylvania? How many of you are not from Pennsylvania? Okay, I'm looking to see if some of the same hands went up. How about from Maryland? We got some people here from Maryland. What church are you from? No, the other you. Yeah, you. Wait a minute. Hold on. You got to tell me your name, because you look like you've got an exciting story to tell. Mitel.
Maricela.
You know, all of a sudden she was like, ah! And now she's like, Marcella. What were you going to tell me? What church? What town?
Odenton.
I know where Odenton is. I've spoken in chapel up there a couple of times. Yeah, okay. All right. So we've got some people from Maryland, got some people from Pennsylvania. Anybody here from Virginia? You are not from Virginia. You also told me you were 33 years old. Okay. We are excited. We're going to talk to you about slaying some giants. We'll give you some Bible lessons this week. I hope it'll be a help to you. We're going to start out in Mark chapter 4. Now, throughout the week, I'll tell you that after we were in Pennsylvania, we moved to Virginia. I was a police officer there for 9 years. So this week, I might tell you some police stories, okay? Now, I say that because I don't want you to go home and say to your parents, in Virginia, they give the preachers police cars and they can lock people up, because that's not true. That was before, okay? I'm not a police officer anymore. I have pastored a church. We've been there for 20 years, roughly, thereabouts. And we're excited to be with you, and we're going to talk to you tonight about the giant of disobedience. The giant of disobedience. I'm in Mark chapter 4, I'm in verse 35. And the same day when even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was, talking about Jesus. They took him as he was. What does that mean? Well, you know, I'm sure girls don't have this problem, but guys at the end of the day, they have a tendency to stink. And, you know, I'm sure the girls' dorms are not real good, but don't ever go into the guys' dorm. They just do. They just stink. They don't wear deodorant. They don't wash. They don't use soap. They don't wash behind their ears. They have dirty feet. I mean, and their rooms smell like it. Guy counselors are smiling. Is that not the truth? I'll tell you what. You walk in there, you're lucky to come out alive. Well, here they have Jesus. He's all day long, and he's preaching, and it's hot out. And he probably doesn't smell so good. And his clothes are maybe a little bit dirty. His feet are dusty because they've been walking out in the dirt. And they said here in Mark chapter 4 that they took Jesus just as he was. And they didn't take him down and say, hey, let's get you cleaned up first. And they didn't say, hey, let's wash your feet. And they did that a lot in that time. They took him as he was into the ship. So you can see Jesus. Clothes are a little bit dirty. Feet are dirty. He's tired. Guys, when they're out playing on the athletic field, you'll see it this week. They start to sweat. Girls don't sweat, I know that. But guys, they sweat. And as they sweat, the dirt starts to come off, and it gets some creaky little lines on them. You watch. You'll see it this week. And so Jesus, he probably had some of these things going on. They took him as he was into the ship. And the same day, verse 37, they're in the ship, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full, not of people, of water. And he, Jesus, was in the hinder part, the back part of the ship, and he was, what's the next ever word? Asleep on a pillow. He was asleep on a pillow. And they awaken him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And there was a calm, the Bible says, in that very verse. And all of a sudden the waves stopped and ceased, and there was a calm. Can you feel it? A calm in the room. I just everybody looking around. What in the world is going on? And so he was asleep. And so I wonder, how many of you sleep at night? Okay. I wonder, how many of you sleep on a pillow at night? You don't? Seriously, you don't sleep on a pillow? No? Oh, you do. Okay, just making sure. Adults, hey, we are non-discriminators this week. We just pick on everybody. Well, I'll be watching for you. Asleep on a pillow. So how do you sleep? You sleep on a pillow? How many stomach sleepers do we have? You sleep on your belly. You got a few stomach sleepers? How many of you sleep on your right side? Wait, hold on. We have a legitimate question here.
It doesn't matter
how you sleep. Oh, it does matter how you sleep. How many of you sleep on your back? You are going to be snorers, and it does matter. Man, I tell you what, if somebody sleeps on their back, it is just terrible. You can hear them three dorms away. And so here's Jesus. He's asleep on a pillow in the hinder part of the ship. Now, there are some ways that you shouldn't sleep, especially when you get to be an old man like me. How many of you ever slept with your face on your hand on the pillow? Yeah, you know what that looks like in the morning? But as you get older, your face doesn't recover quite so quickly. And I could be like days with a handprint on my face. That's not good. So just be careful how you sleep. And here's Jesus. He is asleep on a pillow in the hinder part of the ship. And the disciples are afraid. And so they wake him up and they say, carest thou not that we perish? I want you to see the last verse because it's important. This is important. The last verse. Jesus calmed the storm and said, peace, be still. And there was a calm. And verse 41. And what happened? They did what? They feared how much? Exceedingly. Exceedingly. Okay, keep your finger here. Go with me to Job chapter 1. Old Testament, book of Job. Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1, we have the biblical, historical account of a man named Jonah. And God said to Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh and preach and cry unto that city, for their wickedness has come up against me. And Jonah said, no, I ain't going. Because he, at that moment in his life, encountered a giant And not only was he not prepared to face the giant, he said to the giant, "I'll go wherever you want me to go." Now, we're not supposed to do that. When I was, I remember as a little guy, probably eight, 9 years of age, I'd go to summer camp. I did not have the, some of you came here with your churches. Man, I didn't do that. My parents took me up to the northern, right about here, in Michigan, and dropped me off at a camp and left me all by my lonesome with 200 or 300 kids that I didn't know that smelled funny and looked funny and came from funny places. And I would go to camp. Man, I wanted to serve the Lord. I just did. From the time I was a little guy, I wanted to serve the Lord. In my bedroom, I had a map of the United States. It was probably about this big. And I had an old wooden desk up there. And I would sit in front of that map and I would pray, "Lord, you show me where you want me to go. You want me a missionary somewhere in the world? Man, I want to do that." 8 years of age, I prayed that God do something exciting in my life. Here's why I'm so excited to be with you this week. Because you may think that the decisions you make this week are nothing. There may be even some adults in the room saying, "We're going to do the camp thing this week, but really nothing important is coming out of junior camp. I mean, where it's really happening is with the teenagers." And I've got to tell you that statistics just say that's just not true. There's a statistic out, if you like statistics, that says 79%, which is almost eight out of every 10 missionaries that are on the mission field today made the decision to go to the mission field when they were between 8 and 10 years of age. That's an astounding thing. That 80% of our missionaries are sitting in the room right here tonight. But you know what's going to keep you from being a missionary? The giant of disobedience. God went to Jonah. He said, "Jonah, go up to Nineveh and cry up against that city, for its wickedness has come up against me." And Jonah said, I ain't going. And so he went down to the dock and he found a ship going to Tarshish and he paid the fare thereof. I'll tell you this. If you want to disobey, there is always a ship going in the direction that God does not want you to go. There's always going to be a friend. I hate to say this. They're here at camp this week. You want to be disobedient? You want to break the rules? There's somebody here that will do it with you. There's somebody here that will say, "Hey, go ahead. Nobody's watching." And you get bit, attacked, taken over by the giant of disobedience. Hey, it happened to Jonah. And Jonah wasn't a little guy. Jonah was a big guy. He was an adult. Did you know that adults can get bit by the giant of disobedience? Jonah did. But God's not going to let you run. If you're one of His kids, He's going to come find you. And God sent a storm. Verse 5 says, Jonah chapter 1, "The mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God." Here's the sad thing. As Jonah was running, there were guys in that ship with him that were not saved. They did not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And boy, Jonah didn't really care. He didn't care that they were all going to die and they were going to go to a devil's hell. He didn't care. He just did not want to obey God. He did not want to go to Nineveh. Do you want to know why he did not want to go to Nineveh? Because he hated those people. He hated them. They were cruel. They were brutal. They killed Jewish people. They did some terrible things to them. They would skin them alive. They would take a pole and they would impale them on the pole and then they'd light them on fire while they were alive so that they could have light for their parties at night. And Jonah said, "I hate those people. And I want God to destroy every last one of them. And I want them to go to a devil's hell. I want that to happen to them." Now, that's not a good thing for a preacher to do. But listen, it's not a good thing for anybody to do. But you be careful. Because if the giant of disobedience can get Jonah, he can get you. And he's looking. He's looking. Now, these guys were afraid. Now, remember, we were in Mark chapter 4. And what happened in Mark chapter 4? There was a storm. And who was afraid in Mark chapter 4? The disciples were afraid. Now, here, the unsaved guys are afraid. What are the disciples afraid of? Well, if you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, there's really nothing to be afraid of. Because the worst thing in the world that can happen to you is you go to heaven to be with Jesus. But these guys, they were afraid. And they should have been afraid. Because they didn't know Christ. And you notice in that passage, it said they prayed to their God, every man to his God, and it's a little g, because it was gods of wood and gods of stone, but it wasn't Jesus Christ. Wasn't the Son of God. Wasn't the true God. And so they cry. But Jonah, verse 5 says, Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay, and the Bible says in verse 5, and was fast asleep. In verse 6, the shipmaster came to him and said, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. And it says, big G. I don't know if they knew that he was a preacher. I don't know if the captain knew what was going on. But they start to ask him some question. Pray to your God. And they said, verse 7, and they said, everyone to his fellow, come, let us cast lots. Let's see who the problem is. And the Bible says, the lot fell upon Jonah. They said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil has come upon us? What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? What people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord. Really? Hey, you fear the Lord? Then why are you running? Why are you running away from him? Why are you running away in disobedience? How in the world do kids disobey? Oh, I tell you what, kids have perfected disobedience to an art form. It's just that giant is there for all of us. Brother Dustin says, okay, everybody stand up. And boy, that giant of disobedience says, you know, I don't want to. I'm just going to sit down. The bell rings and says, hey, everybody come to town. No, let's just not go. Hey, let's not go. Let's go, but let's just not go right now. And that's disobedience. You just got taken over by the giant of disobedience. It'll destroy your life. And so God sent the storm to get Jonah's attention. Did it get his attention? No, not at all. He said, I'm going to sleep. And he went to sleep. But it got everybody else's attention. Did you know that the world around you looks to you as a Christian to see whether you obey or disobey God? And when you disobey, they see it. And they say, so you are a Christian, huh? Ah, you disobey just like me. And they don't see any difference. And they use that as an excuse as to why they'll never trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Wow, what a shameful thing. But there's Jonah. He said, I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord. And here's what you need to do. And the God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. And they said, verse 10, then the men were exceedingly afraid. How afraid were they? How afraid were the guys, the disciples? They were... Well, yeah, these guys are afraid. Why should the disciples have been afraid? Were the disciples being obedient?
No.
The disciples weren't being obedient? In Mark. Follow me. Don't lose me. Come back with me. Come back to Mark. Jesus said, get into the boat. We're going to go to the other side. They got in the boat with Jesus. Were they being disobedient or obedient?
Obedient.
They were being obedient. Who were they with? They were with... Should they have been afraid?
No.
Sometimes we're afraid when we shouldn't be afraid. They should not have been afraid. These guys were in a boat with Jonah. Was Jonah going in the boat with God?
No.
God said, go to Nineveh. And Jonah went the opposite way. And you hear me. When you go the opposite way from God, you go by yourself. And that's a lonely place to go, in the opposite way, away from God. Jonah got in the boat, went in the opposite way. Now the guys that are exceedingly afraid, and these guys should have been exceedingly afraid because they didn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They asked him a question. Well, why have you done this? Why have you done this? And they said unto him, verse 11, what should we do that there would be calm? And he said, I'll tell you what you do. Turn the boat around and take me back. No, that's not what he said. That's what he should have done. When you realize you're being disobedient, then the fix, the cure, is you should turn around and be obedient. So, stand up. Look there. Now sit down. I'm going to tell you to stand up, but don't stand up. Give me the, I ain't standing up look. Do you have an I'm not standing up look? Can you give me the I'm not going to stand up? Oh, yeah. Oh, you got a good one. Okay, stand up. Boy, I tell you what, she's giving me, I'm not going to stand up, look. But now she decides, oh, you know, I shouldn't have done that. What's the best thing to do next? Keep sitting down, right? No, stand up. Oh, no, she's got the I'm standing up look, and already she's happy. Dan. What's your name?
Leona.
Oh, you girls, you talk so softly.
Leona,
that's a very pretty name. Okay, Leona, and immediately, I mean, when Leona gave me the look, it was like... But then, when she decided to obey, I said, stand up. She immediately went... And she stood up, because obedience brings happiness, joy, and peace. But when you're disobedient, when your mom says, go clean your room. And I'll tell you what, guys may stink, but girls have messy rooms. I tell you, I had three kids. One of them was a girl. And I'll tell you what, that girl is a hurricane. She walks in a room and you know she's been there. There's like stuff everywhere. And I just walk in the room. I go, Caitlin's home. Just know she is. Mom says, clean your room. Does that mean put the stuff under the bed? Does that mean throw all the dirty clothes under the mattress? That means clean your room. And we know what clean room means, but we don't. We don't. We go into the room, we shut the door, and we... I do all kinds of stuff. Play video games and read books. And what do girls do? Hang on, they write letters. And I don't know. Play with their dolls. Girl stuff. Guys, they do all kinds of weird stuff. They go in there and they go... You know, they make faces. But I tell you what. All of a sudden, you hear on the steps, Dad's coming home. What do? You jump up and you start to clean. Well, you're miserable. Why? Because you've been disobedient. But I'll tell you what. When you've been disobedient, Mom said, go up and clean your room. Dad's coming home. We're going to be home in an hour. Get up there. And you go up there and you put the stuff away and you put dirt clothes in and you dust and you move stuff around. And all of a sudden you hear this. Dad's coming home and you stand there and go, hey, Dad, I was obedient. Because obedience brings happiness and peace. But, hey, you're not obedient. Everybody's afraid. And listen, if you're hanging around somebody that's disobedient, you ought to be afraid. You better be afraid. It was late one night. It was midnight shift. I was on police work, working in right off 28 in Centerville. And we got the call, and it was a slow night. I think it was a Sunday night. Nothing ever happens on Sunday night. But we got the call. There were three or four guys that were breaking into cars down in this townhouse subdivision. Right off of the main highway. And so there were some guys to the south and guys to the north. And I positioned with one of the guys on the north side of the subdivision. And when we waited, we hid behind the townhouse, the corner. And there were some guys on the south. And they said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to start from the south. And we're going to shine our flashlights. We're going to make a lot of noise. And we're going to chase those guys your way. And sure enough, I mean, they came on the south side. They had the police canines out there. And the dogs coming up. And they're shining the flashlights under the car. And all of a sudden, out they came. Like cockroaches in the night. And hit by the light. And they jumped up. And they started running our way. And I saw him when he was about as far from me as Dustin is on the back wall. Brother Dustin. And he got there. And he's getting closer. And he's getting closer. And I'm hiding around the corner. And I can see him coming. This is going to be good. And he comes up. And he gets about this far from me. And I jumped up. And I went, boy, don't move. And I'll tell you what. His eyes got about this big. And he fell down on the ground, and he messed his pants. He was so afraid. He did. We took him back to the police station, and I'll tell you what. Normally, the police station is secure. Front door's locked, back door's locked, all the doors inside are locked. But I tell you what, that guy smelled so bad. We had the front door open. And the back door opened, and we had fans trying to air that thing out. And listen, he and his two buddies went to jail because of disobedience. That's all it is. One guy said, you know what? Let's go out and break into some cars. And the other two guys said, okay. but it never ends well. Disobedience never ends well. And if tonight you don't decide that you're going to obey, then that's exactly where you're going to end up. You say, I'm 8 years of age. They don't put 8-year-olds in jail. 8-year-olds that don't learn to obey become 18-year-olds that don't learn to obey. And that's exactly where they end up. And Romans chapter 13 says, God's got an authority that's bigger than you. What am I telling you? I am trying to scare you. I am absolutely trying to frighten you out of your mind. Obey. Obey. Simple obedience. Jonah said, I'm not going to do it. I don't want to do it so much. Throw me, I would rather die than obey. I can't imagine that. But that's exactly where Jonah was. Throw me overboard, let me die. And the storm will cease. Man, they didn't want to do it. These unsaved guys had more sense than the preacher did. And the Bible says that they tried rowing and they tried throwing. They got the ship manual out. What are you doing in a storm? Throw everything that weighs something overboard. They lightened the ship. And finally they prayed. And they said, Lord, we know it's wrong to kill. But we don't want to die with this guy that's being disobedient. And so you forgive us. Because we're going to throw him overboard. And they did. And the Bible says, in Jonah chapter 1, that there was a calm. And then all these guys, verse 14, let us not perish for this man's life. Verse 15 says, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased. I imagine up in heaven it sounded something like this. Jesus Christ saying, peace be still. And the sea was calm. And these guys that did not trust Jesus Christ as their Savior immediately recognized, don't miss this, these guys immediately recognized that it was God. What did the disciples recognize? Remember the last verse I had you read in Mark chapter 4? The disciples, the guys who had been following Jesus Christ and knew who He was, said, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and sea obey Him. Not these guys. They knew. Listen, you're here and you go to church. You go to Sunday school. You go to vacation Bible school. You go to summer camp. And you hear about Jesus Christ and who He is. You be careful. Because if you're not careful, you'll grow up so close to Jesus Christ that when He works, and you see Him working, you'll go, what in the world is this? What a shameful place to be. But that's exactly where the disciples were. When Jesus Christ worked, you ought to say, the day, what a beautiful day we've had today. Right? Do you know who made today? God did. The life that you have today. You got up, you breathed, you know who gave you that life today? God did. But often, man, here I am. God hasn't done anything for me. Yes, He has. He's given you life today. Give Him the glory. Give Him your service. Give Him your obedience. Don't run from God. Jonah did. The men feared the Lord exceedingly. They offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. And that's where we are right now. That's where we are right now. There's a man, very, very successful. His name is Steve Jobs. How many of you know who that? How many of you know that name? Oh, yeah. What? Steve Jobs. A pretty successful guy. Apple computer. I have an Apple right up here. I'm preaching from an Apple tonight. I got my notes on there. Boy, high-tech stuff. My kids have been a good... Here's what he said. He come down to the end of his life. He got all the money in the world. This is what he said. I have come to the pinnacle of success in business. In the eyes of others, my life has been the symbol of success. However, apart from work, I have little joy. My wealth is simply a fact to which I am accustomed. He said, at this time I'm laying on a hospital bed, remembering all of my life This is a man. He's successful. We say, boy, he had all the money in the world. If I could just have all the money in the world, I'd be happy. Steve Jobs said, nope. Have all the money in the world. One of the richest men. At one point, I think he was the richest man in the world. But he was not happy. And this is what he said. So I'm in a room. I'm dying. I realize that all the riches that I have, I'm proud. They're insignificant compared with my imminent death. The mechanical sounds, you could hear the... as the machines were breathing for him. And he's writing these words. I look at the green lights, the equipment of the artificial respirator. I feel the buzz of the mechanical sound. I can feel the breath. He said that. I can feel the breath of my approaching death as life leaves my body. And you read that. And you think, here's an unsaved guy. He's going to come to Christ, right? But he didn't. He died. Unless something happened after he wrote this. He died without Jesus Christ. What a shame that would be. You do not have to live your life in fear. You can live your life in peace. You can live your life in joy. You can live your life in happiness. But it's going to be if, and only if, you're obedient to God. And the number one way that you'll be obedient to God is when God speaks to your heart for salvation. After that, as a Christian, when God tells you to do something, or God's authority tells you to do something, your mom and dad tell you to do something, your teachers tell you to do something, the giant of obedience is going to say, don't listen to them. But don't you do it. You listen to God. Bow your heads. Every head bowed. Every eye is closed. Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed. No one's looking around. Listen. Let's get started on the right foot this week. I don't know you. I know you're from some good churches. But tonight I'm going to ask you a question. I probably won't ask this question every night. But tonight I want to know, every head is bowed, every eye is closed, except for the counselors. Counselors can be looking around. You know your kids. Just me and the counselors looking. You say, Pastor, I want you to know, Brother Bishop, I want you to know that there has been a time when I've been obedient to God and I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. There's been a time when I have. Okay? All right? Raise your hand. You've trusted Christ. You know. There's been a time. Okay. Put your hand down. Question number two. You're here tonight and you say, Pastor Bishop, Brother Bishop, I'm here tonight, but God has spoken to my heart. I've been in church. I've been in Sunday school class. My parents have talked to me. But, man, you know, I just said no to God over and over and over again. But God spoke into my heart. I don't know if I'm going to do anything tonight, but I want you to know that God is speaking to my heart about salvation. I'm not saved. Pray for me. I won't single you out. I won't hit you up the head with 2x4. I'll pray with you. I'll pray for you. Pray for me. Slip your hand up. Hold it up for just a second. Say, I'm not saved. But God is speaking to my heart. Okay? One young lady. Okay? Another young lady. Right. I said, I pray for you. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray that you'd help these two young ladies that have raised their hand, that before the night is over, they'd go see their counselor, and they'd say, help me, help me. Or even at the invitation time, they'd step up and run, find their counselor, and say, help me to know Jesus Christ. I've not been obedient. God's called me. I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Third question, last question of the night. You're here tonight. You know Jesus Christ is your Savior, but you're disobedient. You're like Jonah. Maybe not running away from God, but you're running away from your parents. You're running away from the truth. Maybe God's called somebody to be a missionary. You're running from that. You're running in disobedience. You say, Preacher, God has spoken to my heart about something very specific. Might be something like we mentioned, like your room. Might be something we didn't mention. But you know you're disobedient. You say, Preacher, God has spoken to my heart tonight. I've been disobedient. Pray for me. God, help me to slay the giant of disobedience in my life. Raise your hand. Okay. All right. Yes, ma'am. All right. Wonderful. Good. Good. Listen, you're not alone. We all struggle from it. I do. Every adult in this room does. God wants you to have victory. We want you to have joy. We'll be glad to pray with you and pray that God would help you. Stand to your feet with your heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to pray for you immediately when I say amen. The pianist is going to play. You come forward and you just tell God what's on your heart. Father, I pray that you'd help the young people that raise their hand, that are struggling with obedience, that you would help them to learn to obey and slay that giant of disobedience that wants to destroy their life. Help them. We'll praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. The piano is playing. The altar is open. God has spoken to your heart. Come on. Might be that matter of obedience. Disobedience. Might be a matter of salvation. You raise your hand, you're not saved. Grab the counselor. Come up and shake my hand. Grab Brother Dustin's hand. Say, hey, I'm just not sure. Help me. We'll help you. We care about you. God loves you. He's in the ship with you. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Yes, He does. I'll tell you, He does.